years, and a lot of heartbreak and heartache and humility. Because I think everyone that was connected with that knew what was at stake. They knew what was on the line. And so the seeking of God and his wisdom in this matter came again with great heaviness of heart. And even more, we continue now to pray for as we head into our future. Not really even knowing what the summer and the fall and next school year is even going to look like, because we don't. You know, how can we meet what's going on with that, the protocols, what's expected, all the things that keep almost daily changing around us? And it's because of things like this that God offers to each and every one of us one of the greatest gifts he could give us or offer us. And it's an invitation. An invitation that God himself, the creator of the universe, the Holy One, actually offers an open door to come in, to come into his presence and be honest and pray. Personally, and in all honesty, we can just say, God, I'm stressed. I'm worried. I know in the midst of this, I can get preoccupied and worn down. I don't have the words. I don't have the thoughts. I don't care if it's this or other things going on in your life. Just the mere fact that you can do that, if you try to wrap your mind around that, what an amazing thing that is. That we can just bring it before God. And know, too, that if we don't, or the things that can spiral around in our hearts and our minds, what can happen? Because sometimes it's in the middle of those things that people just kind of get a loss or a fuzziness in their mind, and they're more apt maybe to compromise on things or give in to temptation, start making excuses for things. We become vulnerable. And really the invitation here coming through Peter from God himself is that, you know what, just say it for what it is. Call it what it is. If you're feeling it, say it. If you're angry, be angry. If you're happy, be happy. If you're joyful, be joyful. But you know, the beautiful thing is, you don't have to hide to God because he already knows. But here's the thing, on the flip side, Satan, who is really real, is out hunting. And as he's out hunting, he's out looking for prey. Looking for those who aren't paying attention, who dropped their guard, who are weak, who are vulnerable, and particularly people who are alone. And not just alone, but alone and also carrying a load. See, there's a need for humility and allowing other people to help or allow someone to help. And that's where God comes in here and he says, I want to be that person. Because he cares. He really, really does. I remember reading this passage. I think I was in junior high or something like that. And I found a little poster and I put it on my bulletin board in my bedroom. And it was always there for years and years and years. And it was this passage, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. And for so many years of my life, what an amazing thing to always look at. God cares about me and us. Turning our fears and our worries over to God, expressing to him our trust in him, what an amazing thing. The reason for turning over, it's very simple. Again, we see the heart of God. He says, I care about you because I know what can happen if you don't. I know what happens if you go at this alone, if you're carrying this load, if something's going on in your life around you. And if you don't, I know what can happen. It's the heart of God because he really does care. Because a humbled heart says, I need God. A proud heart, an arrogant heart, isn't going to say that Because regardless of what the circumstances or situations are going to be, I'm going to find a way of doing this. I can, you know, gut it out. I can be heroic through this thing, and I got this. Only a humble heart will say this. But then Peter says here, yeah, I need God, but then I need to be alert. He says, be self-controlled and alert. In other words, pay attention. You got to be awake. Why? Your enemy is prowling around. So we need to be alert to Satan's activities. So he says, resist him. Stand firm in the faith. In other words, stand your ground regarding what you believe, what you know to be truth. You know the truth. The truth is in God's word. The promises, the statements, we hold on to that because it says Satan has devices, and he has a lot of devices. Temptation to sin, anything he can do to, in a sense, mistrust God, thinking that I got this, I don't need him, I'll decide what's right or wrong for myself, I'll trace out this course of action for myself, I don't need God, I mistrust him. Because maybe he's holding out. Or one of the devices is accusing us before God, in a sense to make us fear him, because he's out to get us. Or just play on guilt. Try to help us to see what kind of a failure we are. He'll mess with you. Or confusing our minds regarding the truth, where it just gets fuzzy. I don't know what the truth is. Or idolatry, which is kind of where our hearts are wooed to attach to something else or to some other thing. But see, here's the big thing. There's a big connection between worry and anxiety and being vulnerable to attack. You see, worry and anxiety can cause us to forget because we get so skewed in our vision, so caught up in what we're in the middle of, we just don't think. We don't stop to go to maybe where we need to. That's why Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, said, don't worry about your life. You seek first the kingdom of God, and the things that you need for life will be provided for you. He talks about, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's got its own thing on. How about we just take one day at a time? Because worries distract us from paying attention to that which is really important. So again, Peter suggests that worry and anxiety are the very tools of Satan. Because again, he knows how to get the best of us. Be wide awake. Don't get sleepy. Drop your guard. Because the one thing that you have to say about the devil is he's persistent. He's prowling around like a hungry lion. And he's going to prowl. And he's going to prowl. And he's going to look. And he's going to watch. And he's going to look and prowl some more. And he can be almost like, too, like a prosecuting attorney in a courtroom before the judge. Let's just keep throwing stuff as much as we can at them to see if anything sticks, to accuse our minds, cause doubt and fear. Let's make them feel as guilty as possible. Because Satan means literally adversary, to accuse us, to accuse our conscience, to get our thinking off of where it needs to be. Again, the devil's scheme, wear him down, wear him down, wear him down. That's why we need prayer. That's why we need worship. That's why we need Bible study. That's why we need the Lord's Supper. That's why we need spiritual activities in our life. It's like training. It's like those things that cause us to be strong in the faith. Training like an athlete who wants to run that race with perseverance. And if not, at those weak times, vulnerable times when we're not paying attention, that's when the enemy strikes. And when those trying times come, the weary times come, cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. Those are incredibly beautiful words that Jesus are recorded as saying in this prayer in the gospel reading for today in John chapter 17. Jesus left his followers with something that demonstrated that he really cared, and it was at night he met with them in the upper room the night before his death. He washed their feet. He instituted for them the Lord's Supper. And then he prays a prayer out loud that they could hear. And mainly he's saying, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm praying for your protection and your strength. In verse 6 it says, in one translation, I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Or I revealed you to those who are your people. You see, God is known and revealed in part by the many names that he has. So he manifested himself as one who provides and who protects, who cares, who disciplines, who shares goodwill with. And then he says, sanctify them in the truth because your word is truth. Set them apart, hold them into that because that's where it is. And the bottom line with all of this is, we're not in this alone. Casting anxieties on the Lord means that we can also count on one another for strength. Because this is when our relationships with one another become invaluable. See, we're encouraged when we pray for one another, when we lift one another up. Because what we're doing is we're contending as a team. Strengthening the point on the line where the devil concentrates his attack. And in this, Peter kind of relates a twofold promise. The God of grace, he says, will himself will restore you, renew you, and also make you strong, firm, and steadfast. It's the importance of praying for one another. There are so many families that have kids in our school. So we also have right now a lot of hearts that are hurting, concerned about the, well, now what? But as a number of parents have told me specifically, that the intensity of that hurt and their pain that they're feeling right now because of the fact that maybe their kids won't be going to school here anymore is a testimony to what the school meant to so many families and the lives that have been touched. So led by one mom in particular, some other ones, an invitation went out to just come and gather here out in the parking lot. So Friday for an hour, Saturday for an hour, a whole group of parents just showed up and they just prayed. Poured out their hearts to God for his will, for the families, for our staff, for the kids, for direction, for God's will to be done. I had the privilege of being a part of that, just being kind of in the middle of it with them. And the whole time I was thinking, Friday and yesterday, while this was going on, I said, that's what 1 Peter 5 is all about. It's that passage in action. And that's why it was such a beautiful thing to be a part of, because at times like that, that's all you can do. You just kind of pour it out to God. And whether it's that or other things going on in our life, just knowing that, again, that invitation is there. And when someone prays for us or we for another, what's being communicated? What's being communicated is, I'm not alone. Someone has come alongside me, or I come alongside somewhere else, or together we unite our hearts in something. What an amazing thing. When just prayer requests go out through our email prayer chain at Trinity, to be able to take that time to remember someone, maybe in our church family here, or maybe someone, a friend, or something going on with somebody else who's a part of here, just to take that time to say, hey, you're not alone. We'll remember you. We'll pray for you. We'll care for you. The bottom line is, we're not alone. See, we may draw from one another what we need. And we need one another. But most important, we can draw from the captain of our team, Jesus Christ, who truly knows us and what's going on in our lives, and just looks at us and says, I care. So that invitation to just come. There is no greater thing. I mean, yeah, the fact that we've been died for and that we've been offered this free gift of salvation because of Jesus. But only second to that is an invitation that God himself says, come. You're welcome here anytime just to let it out. Because I care about you. So as we leave here today and we go into our new week, as we go sometimes in just the unknown of life, what greater thing can we know? And if that isn't a statement about God's love for you, I don't know what is. That the creator of the universe, the one who knows you by name, welcomes you. What a thing that can give our hearts peace. What a thing that can allow us just to have that confidence, again, where we're at in life. Regardless of what's going on, that's a gift. Take that gift with you today, that invitation from the God who loves you. And so now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.